Hotels.com. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we have two amazing guests to talk about something that CSU Channel Islands is doing, and we're going to talk about that at length. And we also have a representative from AHA today to talk about the famous Santa Barbara AHA Singing Out that's going to take place this Sunday. But before we begin, I just want to note that I just got back from a fantastic lunch that CSU Channel Islands provided for a bunch of Santa Barbara residents to make the case that CSU Channel Islands is really an important part of Santa Barbara. And, you know, over the next few months, we'll probably talk more and more about how pervasive CSU Channel Islands is in this community. It's not just, and I don't mean just in a pejorative sense, a Camarillo or Ventura school, but with its Goleta campus, it's really a very important part of the opportunities for education here in Santa Barbara. So we have Annie White, Assistant Professor of Early Childhood Studies at CSU Channel Islands, and Callie Mark, who's Director of Children's Programs in Transition House in Santa Barbara. We're going to talk to them about a collaboration that they're doing. But first, I want to introduce Molly Green, the Development Director of AHA, who's going to talk about one of the best events in Santa Barbara, the Sing It Out. Thank you for being here, Molly.
Thank you, Neil, for having me. Sing It Out is my favorite event of the year, so I'm really excited to be here and be able to tell people a little bit about what the event is. It will take place Sunday at the Libero Theater, starts at 7:30. And Sing It Out is one of our one of eight after-school programs that we offer in the community. Our after-school and summer programs are by donation only. And Sing It Out is unique in that it ends after 13 weeks of group meetings. It ends in a big performance. And we will be at the Libero Theater for the second time. They've been extraordinarily gracious and are really excited to have us again. We have 10 teens in our program that have little to no performance experience when they start. They work once a week for 2 hours with Tina Schlesky and her band.
Who was the singer and writer of our theme song.
Yes, exactly. She's an extraordinary musician, and she is phenomenal with the teens. She gives them so much support and love and really guides them through the process. Additionally, we have AHA facilitators that are part of the process and vocal coaches that come in and work with the teens as well.
One of the things that's amazing about the Sing It Out is I had the privilege to work with the teens a few years, in the last few years, and I've gone to their afternoon program, and there was one teenager who was unable to speak at these meetings, and he did Sing It Out last year. And he didn't sing, but he spoke. And it was just, talk about breakthrough. It was just an amazing breakthrough. And while it's very entertaining, a lot of the people in the audience who do not have kids in the program, just are donors or interested, have tears in their eyes because it's such a emotional experience to watch these kids that would not even be able probably to show up at the event, more or less participate in the event, had it not been for the AHA program.
That's absolutely true. And also, they learn to support one another on such a deep level, and they bond profoundly. And it's really exciting to be able to witness the process that they go through. A couple of years ago, we had a young man who literally never spoke. And he went through the process and did get up on stage and sang Midnight Hour in a gold sequins jacket. And his high school counselor was standing next to me, absolutely weeping. It was the most moving thing. She could not believe the transformation that he had gone through.
And if you had invited me to sing, the audience would be weeping because I would not do, I'd rather, you know, jump out of a plane than
but
do the...
Most of the performers feel the same way, but somehow they are able to work through that fear, to work through their challenges and really find their voice. And they get up on stage and they belt it out. And it is not about talent. It's not about who's the best singer. It's about really having the courage to step outside of your comfort zone.
Have you told Annie and Callie that they're going to sing today?
Oh, yeah. I thought you knew.
So how does one go about getting tickets?
Tickets can be bought at the Libero box office. And we have regular tickets for the entrance, for youth and adults. And then we also have a VIP reception that starts at 5:45 in the tent behind the Libero. And that's a lot of fun. And there are very few seats left for that. So if you are interested in the reception, please buy your tickets today.
And you can buy those tickets on the Libero website or Ticketron or what?
Libero website.
Okay. Well, thank you, Molly. I look forward to seeing you there.
I will see you on Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Annie and Callie, Annie's been a guest on the show before, and Annie White, Professor White, is a early childhood professor at CSU Channel Islands, and Callie Mark is the director of the children's program at Transition House. So let's sort of set the stage and ask the first question is, how did these two organizations come together for this project? And we'll talk about the project in a moment. So maybe the way to start is, Callie, tell us about Transition House.
So Transition House is an organization in Santa Barbara. We serve families who are experiencing homelessness. So any family, it could be parents, it could be a grandparent, anyone with who's a guardian of a child under the age of 18 and needs a place to live. So we've been in operation for about 30 years, going all the way back to the 80s. And it started out, different organizations, interfaith organizations came together in Santa Barbara and hosted it at their organization month to month, and eventually they got their own place to be. And so the families, we've since moved again, but we've been in our current location for quite a while now. And we offer a shelter program, which is an emergency shelter. We also have a second stage, which is our more like a transitional housing program. And then we have third stage, which are permanent supportive apartments, basically permanent supportive housing for families.
And how many families do you typically help each year?
About 100 in our shelter. So it depends. We have about 35 apartments where families can be, plus 6 rooms in our transitional housing stage. But about 100 families come through our shelter each year.
And your particular responsibility is in storytelling? Is that...
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, my job is children's program director, and so I work with all the children in the program. I oversee the programs in our shelter as well as our licensed childcare facility, which serves infants, homeless infants, as well as infants from the community who are 6 weeks up to 2 years old.
I guess this is a question that somebody who doesn't really understand how difficult, or does understand in his own mind how difficult it must be, but is it depressing to have to work with very young kids who find themselves in such a horrible situation?
You know, there can be times and situations that are really hard to process, and Transition House does a great job of offering support to their employees for that kind of a thing. But in general, I mean, for myself at least, I find that working with the children in my program is the same as working with children in many programs where I've worked in the past.
Right.
And they really bring joy to the work. And so it's not, I don't leave feeling depressed. I really get a lot out of working with them. They build you up as much as we build them up. So.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Annie White, Professor of Early Childhood Studies at CSU Channel Islands, and Callie Mark, Director of Children's Programs at Transition House. So, Dr. White is an expert at early childhood education, and you've decided to partner with Transition House. What motivated you?
Thank you. So about in 2015, I was able to present to Santa Barbara. Here in Santa Barbara, there's an early childhood education leadership group that meets on a regular basis. And I was able to present about my research with learning stories. And Kaylee was there. And of course, a lot of community partners were there. And Kaylee and another program that serves the homeless population, storyteller, here in Santa Barbara, approached me about learning stories, and that began our relationship. And we spent quite a amount of time together. I was very fortunate. I was able to get a Sims Mann Fellowship, faculty fellowship, which sponsored a research project, and I was able to work with both Transition House and Storyteller for about a year, training their teachers on how to incorporate learning stories in their work, and then conducted the study, and the findings came back very, very positive. So it's been a really incredible journey together since 2015.
And tell us what learning stories is.
So learning stories is based from New Zealand. It is a formative assessment approach to documenting children's learning and their development. And here in California, we have looked to New Zealand, who are the experts in learning stories, who developed it, and to incorporate it. So basically what learning stories are is a narrative assessment approach where you document children's learning, where teachers will write directly to the child about what the learning that they saw occur. And then they analyze it and they reflect on it and see what the significance is of that child's interaction, that learning experience. And then from there, they do curriculum planning. They plan what's next. So it's a very comprehensive piece, but it's really an incredible tool because, you know, stories transcend all cultures. And what we have found in the research is that parents respond so positively. They feel a deeper connection with the teachers. The teachers feel a deeper connection with the child. And the child, so there is also a participant. So there's multiple people giving responses back on that initial document or that initial story. So a parent can respond back to the child about what the teacher wrote. A family member can respond back, for example. The child can respond back. So when the story or that narrative observation is read to them, they respond back to it. So it has multiple voices and multiple perspectives, which unfortunately is not very common here in the United States. Most assessment tools that are used with children is strictly from the educator perspective and doesn't include the parents or the community or family members.
And how does... Well, let me rephrase it. Why does CSU Channel Islands, a university, help to facilitate your participation in something that doesn't look like it has a direct benefit to the university.
So in our, I'm so fortunate to be a part of CSU Channel Islands because they're extremely progressive university. And what I really appreciate in the early childhood studies program that I work in is that we use learning stories as our primary assessment in all curriculum assessment courses. But we also use learning stories in other ways because the university has four different mission components to it. We have integrated studies, international, and also looking at service learning. What I do is use in our program learning stories through those mission pillars. So, for example, if I have students who are doing service out in the community, they write learning stories to those community members, or they may be writing learning stories about themselves. So there's lots of different ways that we're incorporating learning stories in our throughout our university and especially in our early childhood studies program. So it's a really amazing to work for an institution that's so open to use such an incredible assessment tool and approach.
Do you get to take students to these conferences to let them see firsthand what's happening?
Yes, absolutely. We, I've been working with a team from across California to co-plan a upcoming Learning Stories conference. It's actually going to be hosted. It's both Santa Barbara County and Ventura County. It's going to be at Ventura County Office of Ed this coming Saturday. It's an all-day Learning Story conference. We have so many incredible partners between Santa Barbara and Ventura County, including the County Office of Ed, of course, California State University, Channel Islands, the First Five program, many, many programs locally are helping to plan and sponsor this conference. And all students and any faculty or staff at the university are able to attend free because of the generous donations by the university that helped to fund this event. So students have this opportunity to be able to attend. And then we're also offering this conference the following week at San Francisco State in a partnership with the San Francisco Bay Area educators and, of course, SF State, which is amazing. But not only that, Neil, what's really exciting is that the university has sponsored a new course called University 392, and it's narrative stories in New Zealand. And so I'm going to be teaching a course in the fall, and all the students enrolled in my class are going to go with me to New Zealand over the winter break. So I'm just really, really excited and really honored that the university is so supportive of this important research.
So if I register for that course, I can get to go to New Zealand?
Absolutely, if you register for it. And what's amazing is the students that are actually enrolled is I have a very, very high percentage of first-generation college students who've never traveled, mm-hmm. which is very exciting, very diverse. English is not their first language, and they're also not just in early childhood or education. I have students that maybe are in history or global studies or math majors, so it's really a very integrated approach, which, of course, is one of our components that we really focus on because we are student-centered at our university.
Yeah, and as I said earlier in the show, it was our luncheon today was about making it very clear that CSU Channel Islands is an important part of the whole Santa Barbara community. And here's another example where this event is taking place to help people in Santa Barbara understand this great technique and working with Transition House. So, Callie, have you utilized the learning stories before? You met up, or is this something new for you?
No, this was something new for us. We've been using it now for a couple of years, but when I listened to Annie's presentation, 2015, it was something we'd kind of been trying to figure out what type of assessment tool was right for us in our center. And when I heard her speak, I just thought, this is it. This is definitely what's right for us. We really focus a lot on family engagement and family involvement, and we were thinking about how does that tie in with assessment, and this just seemed to fit perfectly. And so, yeah, we've been doing that now in our center. And I think the centers that are using it around town or that Annie's worked with, everyone does it a little bit differently, but we've kind of our approach has evolved since we started doing it. But it's been really great. Our teachers really love it. We've gotten great family responses. The kids enjoy hearing their own stories told back to them. It's been a really, really beautiful experience.
And the kids obviously are beneficiaries and the parents, but the teachers are beneficiaries too, aren't they? The teachers have a new experience when they're involved with this technique.
Absolutely. I think a lot of what we hear from early childhood educators around assessment tends to be negative. You know, they have these big, long checklists that they have to fill out, and it's paperwork and paperwork and paperwork, and it's not enjoyable for them, and it takes away time that they have with the children in their classrooms. And the learning stories is a really great tool because it doesn't do that. It's you're observing as things are happening in the classroom, and you're snapping pictures or writing little notes and documenting things as they go. And so then when the teachers are going back and writing these stories, they're remembering these really fun experiences that they had with the kids instead of, okay, did I check these boxes throughout the day today? So it helps to shift their perspective as well. And it becomes something that they enjoy doing instead of something that I'm telling them, hey, you need to do this in the classroom.
And the parents who for the most part, are in transition, they're looking for new housing, they embrace this. They're not, disconnected from the world so that they don't appreciate this and they think it's just fluff, or do they actually think that this is important for them at that moment in their lives?
You know, I think that's the beauty of this, is that it allows us to engage with those families. So even though they're in transition or sometimes have experienced trauma or currently experiencing the trauma of homelessness, at the bottom line, they love their children and they like to talk about their children and hear about their children's days. And so this is a really great way to do that. They really do enjoy hearing these, and we get great responses back from them as well. We share, you know, stories about things that happened at over the weekend, and or things they did at the park together that, you know, are similar to what they did in the classroom. So it really creates a bond between the parents and the children, and I think helps the parents to see that these teachers are really paying attention. This is more than babysitting. This is more, they really care about what's going on for the child and the family. And the child's development is really apparent to the families in a way that it might not have been with a checklist.
And one of the things that is becoming really more and more apparent in the academic and scientific community is that these years 0 to 2 are really important in brain development. And so if a child is unfortunate enough to be homeless and you just want to put them in the corner with a crayon, you're really doing a disservice to that child over the really long term. So this is great that you're working with these kids to give them the opportunity to have the right development in that crucial time. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a 4-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a 4-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Professor Annie White of the Early Childhood Studies Program at CSU Channel Islands and Callie Mark, Director of Children's Programs at Transition House. So to better make our audience understand, do you have examples of these stories?
I do, yeah. So I have a story that was really, really touching to all of us. I think the teacher cried when she read the response that the parent had. So this little guy was having a really hard transition into our center, had experienced a lot in his young life, and he and his mom were currently experiencing a lot. And so it's a really simple story, and I think really speaks to the way that we make connections with our families and learn, you know, what's really important to them. So the observation, it was in the morning during free play when I looked over and saw you carrying two pillows. I asked you if you were going on a trip and you smiled at me. I said, okay, David, you're all packed and ready to go and now all you have to do is board the plane. You and I both giggled and I pointed to our wooden airplane made out of big carpeted blocks. You walked over to the plane and carefully got in the pilot's seat. You put one pillow on the side of the plane and kept the other one with you for comfort. You jumped a couple of times, and we sang the jumping song, Jump, Jump, Little David, Jump, Jump, Little David, Jump, Jump, Little David, while we sing this song, which made you smile. After the jumping, you sat down in the airplane and put your hands on the wheel. I said, bye, David, fly safe, and you then started turning the wheel and sitting on your pillow. You were smiling and stayed in the little plane until it was time to start another activity. And so the next section is what it means. So, David, it's nice to see that you have found a way to comfort yourself when you're feeling a little sensitive at school. You always find your pillows here at school and carry them around, soothing yourself. It was so nice to see you enjoying yourself in the airplane. You were smiling at me and engaging me in your play. You have a great smile. Your social skills are improving day by day. And then the opportunities and possibilities section is the teacher's opportunity for future engagement with the child. So since you love to sing and dance, I'll make sure to have plenty of opportunities to do just that. We can have a dance party every morning after we sing at circle time, and I will keep encouraging you to dance and sing with your classmates. Now that I know you're soothed by holding pillows, I will make sure that they're always available to you so you're comfortable. I will also continue to make sure that you have plenty of small group activities so you can continue to be comfortable and make new friends here at school. And then the parent response. Dear David, Mommy loves your airplane. I wish I was there to have gone on the trip with you. I had school, but I hope we can do this on the weekend when it's our days together. I also love to see that you're enjoying school just like Mommy. School has its scary moments, but I promise you that it will get more comfortable for you. You'll make friends with classmates as well as your teachers. I just love that you're using your pillows to feel safe while Mommy is making a better life for both of us. I love you, baby boy. Keep up the good work. Mommy is so proud. Love, Mommy.
How old do you have to be as a child to be able to be given a learning story? Like, is two too little?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, we read these stories to our kids, and they have photographs attached to them, and so the kids see themselves in the stories and hear about themselves. And we actually do this with all the children in our program. So we recently, one of the stories that I brought was about a child who recently started, and she was just about 6 weeks when she started in our program. And we typically do a learning story about their first day, and so she received a learning story within the first week. And so they hear these things about themselves, and especially for those children who may exhibit challenging behaviors, they often don't hear as much positive information about themselves. And so hearing these stories about themselves, it helps to become their narrative. So they hear, you know, oh, wow, I am friendly, or I can soothe myself. I do have the capability to calm down when, you know, I'm feeling really stressed, or, you know, I can be a good friend. And so this becomes the narrative for them instead of, you know, all of the challenges that they may be experiencing.
So Professor White, can you create a study that has academic rigor? See how effective this is. So we're sitting here anecdotally listening to great stories, but you're an academician and a social scientist. How do you put together some type of study to see how effective this is?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Yes, you can absolutely look at and examine learning stories. And the focus point for that my research has really looked at is how does it transform relationships? How are relationships supported? Because as you mentioned early, especially during early childhood and the most informative years, relationships are central and key. And having that attachment, right, and that strong bond is so important. So how could learning stories be examined, researched in a way that shows how relationships are supported? So that might just be one specific area. Also, how it transforms relationships between the child and the parent. Do the parents feel closer? How does it impact the relationships between the teachers and the parents? So the research that I've conducted has been more on a qualitative because obviously it's a narrative inquiry. So it's a type of research that I'm looking at. But what you do is run the data. So you might do interviews, for example, or you might actually look at the learning stories itself. You're looking to code and finding themes. And so I use particularly a qualitative software that's called MaxQDA. It's based from Germany. And so you run it through this very extensive review, looking and extracting the data to find the common themes and goals so that it can help inform, right? The findings can help inform practices and hopefully policy and influence the policy practices around assessments that we currently are using here in the United States.
How do you influence teachers that are over 50 or 55, where they have their way, they learned it, and they're going to stick to it?
That's an excellent question because it is true. Sometimes you get set in your ways, but what we have found is that this framework or this approach using learning stories is really a powerful tool for transformation. That teachers have been stuck, what we have found in the research is showing is that it brings joy back into observing. They're able to really make meaning of the children's learning. They're able to see with fresh eyes. And so it comes in a new way. It really transforms them to be able to see children. And the research is showing that they're so excited with this approach. It's like a fresh breath of air to be able to write these narrative stories. And also it connects to, for example, our state assessment tool that we use here in California with children. If you are a state-funded program, it's called Desire Results Developmental Profile, or DRDP for short is the acronym. And so you could take a learning story like the one that Kaylee read to us, and you can look for the measures, the indicators that are in the state assessment tool. So you can use it as evidence or a document that helps inform when you rate using a state assessment tool. So teachers are excited because, like Kaylee said before, some of the teachers were feeling like they were stuck in doing checklist and not really engaged, and it wasn't informing their practice or their curriculum. Now they find it's so much more joyful, meaningful, connects with the family and the parents and the child, and they get the measures they need.
So I'm a teacher at a school, and I've gone to your seminars, and I've read your work, and I'm really excited about this. Can I just bring it into my classroom, or is there a pushback from the administration?
I think that probably depends on the administration, but I think that any teacher could probably bring it into their classroom. So the story that I just read, I was counting while you were talking, and there were six.
Excuse me, you weren't paying attention?
Well, I was. There were six measures from our state tool, which is the DRDP, just from that one story. So this can be used as evidence then, even if a teacher is being required to do the DRDP or some other type of assessment. These stories can be written and then used as evidence for that assessment. So I think that, you know, sometimes that's what it takes is one teacher to kind of be that champion for their center and say, hey, I think this is really cool. Look, here's what I'm doing. Here's how it's working. It's not taking away from anything I'm already doing. It's actually adding to what we're doing here in the classroom.
And do any parents object? Do parents come in and say, this is too personal?
We haven't had that experience.
No, I've never encountered it. Parents are so excited, Neil. Usually what happens sometimes in early childhood settings, unfortunately, some classrooms, when teachers approach parents, parents will back up because they think that the teacher wants something, or maybe their child did something that day. It really takes a shift in culture when they get these learning stories. Parents come back, they share with the teachers, and then teachers will cry because the parents are so excited. It's not uncommon to evoke some kind of emotional response, which is one of the findings in my research that shows it creates this deeper connection. And parents celebrate, along with the teachers, the the child's learning experience. So it was very celebratory.
Yeah, I wonder if that experience is true for the whole country. I mean, we live in the People's Republic of Santa Barbara, and it's a very liberal group of people. I wonder how this would fly in other states.
There are pockets, and that's what I'm really interested in. I've been presenting in different states, about 5 or 6 so far, about my research findings. And everywhere I go, they're hungry because it really doesn't matter. It's not about our California State Assessment Tool. It doesn't matter. There's other tools, TS Gold. It might be with a specific curriculum, or CORE, for example. That's with a specific high scope early childhood curriculum. Teachers across the United States are drowning because they don't have enough time to really feel like that they can meet all of the mandate requirements and just being with the children, right? So they end up approaching assessment as a task to be done rather than it as a tool to help inform them. So with learning stories, it's not just about a formative assessment approach or connecting to a state tool. It's really, it can be a transformative tool that is for teacher professional development. It creates the trace of the professional life of that teacher. And it's really amazing documentation, because imagine when those children grow up, they're going to have all these narrative stories that were given to them rather than a checklist model that might be more that the case that we use often here in the United States. So we're not saying we're not going to use standardized assessment. We're saying, why not use an observational approach like this and connect it to whatever state tool is currently being used?
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a 4-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a 4-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Dr. Annie White, Professor of Early Childhood Studies at CSU Channel Islands, and Kaylee Mark, Director of Children's Programs at Transition House. So let's just step back a second. Kaylee, how did you get involved in education? You're from New York, aren't you? I can tell from your accent.
No, I'm actually originally from Indiana. And I always worked with children, even basically when I was a child. I mean, I was the neighborhood babysitter and took care of, you know, children of my parents' friends and stuff like that. And I studied elementary education and pretty quickly got bogged down by a lot of the bureaucracy of being in a public education setting or a K-12 setting in general. And I think my passion has always been for younger children. So out of school, I lived in St. Louis for a while and worked for an early childhood center there. And then came to Santa Barbara and did the same thing, and also started working at Transition House just about 8 hours a week for a reading program. And eventually kind of have worked my way through into this position where I am now as the director, overseeing the children's programs. So
when you were in school and when you were teaching, this was not on the table?
Oh, no. Yeah, you know, Well, my background's also in elementary education, so it's a bit different. But it is. I remember how excited my mentor teacher was when I was student teaching to have me in the classroom, simply because she had someone to be with the kids while she had to do all the assessments that she was doing with her kindergartners. And so, you know, I see in it, it doesn't stop with early childhood education. It goes up all the way through, that teachers are bogged down by what they're having to do. And especially with the really young children, you know, there's other needs that are much more pressing than the assessments, but the assessments have to be done. And so, yeah, this was not something I was ever taught, but it's something that when I heard about it, it just made so much sense. And I think it translates. You know, I think I could take this to that kindergarten teacher in Indiana and say, hey, look at this. Would this help, you know, with what you're doing? And it may not fit with their state assessment at this time or something like that.
You know, Santa Barbara is like Brigadoon, which is if you leave, you can't come back. So
yeah.
If you go to Indiana, that's it.
It's yep, a one it'll way, be the end of
just
me.
Be careful. So, Dr. White, how did you get involved in early childhood education?
So I had heard about a study tour to New Zealand, and I participated with 30 other...
No, I mean way back. How did you get involved?
So I'm saying.
Oh,
so,
this is cool. Yeah. This goes...
Yeah, so...
You don't have a New Zealand accent.
I don't. No, I don't. But I very much envy the New Zealanders because it's a fabulous place to be. But anyway, so I was actually working with a Head Start program in Northern California for over 20 years. And my research was looking at, of course, assessments. And I had went on a study tour to New Zealand. And I'd heard Wendy Lee, who's the co-author of Learning Stories, who is the keynote speaker at our conference this Saturday at Ventura County Office of Ed. I had heard her speak about Learning Stories, and I was struggling working with the Head Start teachers, specifically the early Head Start, so that's it's children from birth to three, and they were struggling, like Haley said, about finding time, connecting to the assessment, having to inform their pedagogy, their practices, and I was looking for another way to maybe approach it. So when I went to New Zealand and heard Wendy, I came back, and basically that was my dissertation topic. So I worked and looked at how could I adapt learning stories in California in our context, because of course we're not in New Zealand. And so I looked at that, and then California State University, Channel Islands, I of course had heard about their early childhood studies program because there are only two CSU of the 23 CSUs that has a specific early childhood program that focuses birth to eight. And when I heard that they were already incorporating learning stories across all of their curriculum and assessment courses, which was amazing because that's so rare and so incredible, I was fortunate enough to apply and was offered the position. And so I joined in with the team at Channel Islands and have nonstop been able to move forward and advance my research on learning stories. And of course, now across the state, and we're having, like I said, the conference both in Southern and Northern California. But our goal is to actually advance it across the United States. So, and there are individual pockets, like I said, of different states that are using it, but we have people who are very, very interested. And I'm looking to continue my research on this important topic.
And your teaching load includes other courses, though.
Yes, I do. But about 50% of my courses I teach online, which is great because I have a lot of Santa Barbara students that are online. And I just love that I have both, you know, from Ventura and Santa Barbara, because our university is very, like you said, is very, very supportive of Santa Barbara, and we feel like we're one together. So it's not we're down in Ventura County. We are one seamless across both campuses and across both counties. And my courses that I teach, I look for a way to embed learning stories always. So for example, the last 3 years, I've been teaching a course that's about supporting reciprocal relationships with family and child community engagement. And my students write their own learning stories about themselves. So kind of like what Kaylee read about the child, they actually write their own stories and they share it with their family members and get responses. And then I've been able to get funding from the university to take those students out to the Santa Rosa Island, which is we have a research station there. And it's incredible because we stay for the weekend. They are able to write their stories, and I'm able to partnership with other departments, so like with the art program. So they made three-dimensional books that represented their learning story. Last year, they actually did it through the dance, the performing arts program. So they did it through interpretive dance. And this coming year, they'll be doing it with the ceramics program. So I embed learning stories not just on the assessment of the child, but also on themselves. So there's lots of ways to incorporate learning stories, and we do that across our courses.
Is this applicable, and I'm not trying to be funny here, to marriage counseling? I mean, could you use this with adults as a way of better communicating? Because so many married couples, there's always this difference in how people communicate with each other, and being married doesn't necessarily make it easier. But is there a way to use this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see that this, in addition to having it as an early childhood assessment, for example, is used in primary schools often in New Zealand. But also, I've seen it used as with adults for evaluation, for a supervisor, for coaching, where the coach comes in and writes it directly to the teacher, or teachers write it for themselves, or if they're student teaching, they write it for another. Or written to a parent who's in jail, or from a spouse or to a grandparent to a child. So there's lots of ways to use the components of the learning story. And it's an incredible narrative that it's a gift that you give to that person that they can keep always.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from graduates from, let's say, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I have loved about working at CSU Channel Islands is our alumni are very, very strong. They're well-trained, and they're equipped and ready to work in the early childhood setting. And what I keep getting is feedback is how they're taking this approach wherever they go. And like Kaylee said, they might just be the ripple of change, but then I'm getting emails from those programs asking me for more information because they have a graduate of ours that maybe has introduced it. So, for example, this weekend at Ventura County Office of Ed, where we're going to have the conference, one of our graduates graduated and began working at Patagonia down in Ventura County. And now Ventura County Patagonia is sending a small team of theirs to come to learn more about it. So we're seeing it grow and spread and spread. And so it's one graduate at a time who's taking this message out. And they are very well trained and are able to also help move the child care program or the educational program forward using this approach.
And I imagine when some of these students become teachers themselves and then professors at higher institutions, it will spread even further.
Yes, that's our absolute goal. And I tell them wherever they go, don't forget to email me.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB. And believe it or not, we'll be back with our final segment.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Professor Annie White, a professor of early childhood studies at CSU Channel Islands, and Kaylee Mark, director of children's programs at Transition House. And in the 4 minutes we have left, tell us about all these events that are coming up.
So as I mentioned earlier, we are going to have a conference that's available to the public. So if anybody's interested, you can go on to Ventura County Office of Education website under the Early Childhood Programs. You can find that information about registration. It's all day Saturday. We have speakers from New Zealand. We have presenters from both Ventura and Santa Barbara.
The speakers from New Zealand, are you going to have subtitles?
We are going to have some translation in Spanish. So we also have local presenters that are going to showcase their work with learning stories from both Santa Barbara and Ventura County. So we'll have family child care, we'll have Head Start, home visiting programs, UC Santa Barbara will be represented, County Office of Ed, family child care group. So quite a mix. So anybody who's interested, that is going to be this Saturday. It's all day and breakfast and lunch will be provided. Then we're going to repeat it the following week, a full day conference at San Francisco State. And it will be a larger venue, about 20 different workshops. It will be in multiple languages available. And of course, our New Zealand colleagues will also be there. And if anybody's also interested, I was so very, very grateful that I got a second year fellowship with the Sims Man Institute. I'm going to continue research because one of the findings that showed up from the first original Sims Man research that I did with Kaylee, with Transition House, and with Storyteller is that teachers need tools and they need access to use technology. So I'm working with the developer of an app to pilot using learning stories, and we'll be doing it across the state and looking at how effective that tool is to engage with families.
And I imagine one of the other initiatives or things that these conferences can do is to get administrators on board so they support the teacher that took your course and wants to do it. Because, you know, if your boss isn't on board, it's sometimes very tough to be innovative, particularly in a bureaucracy like a school.
Mm-hmm.
So Transition House is going to be at these events?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yep, I'll be there representing Transition House. And I think kind of like what you were saying, I've been very fortunate that my supervisors have been on board and our board has been on board, and that they see the benefit, and they've always seen the benefit in this age group. I mean, we've had an early childhood center for over 20 years. So for our family specifically, especially, it's really important. They don't have access to quality care. And so that's been my goal, and I think always been the goal of our center, is that we're not just a center where parents bring their children because it's all they can afford or that's their only option. We really want to be, an innovator and a leader in the community, and be providing quality care, and learning stories is one of the ways that we do that. And I think it helps to support our families. One of the protective factors is, parents' knowledge of child development. And this is one of the ways that we're supporting our families, especially those who are most in need, by showing them what their children are capable of and where they are developmentally.
It's really ironic that here are kids who are homeless getting sometimes better tools and better education than some of our more fortunate kids.
Yeah. And, I think that's the beauty of our center, too, is that we're a mixed model. So we also serve some community members. So we have children from all walks of life who are coming together and getting the same type of inclusive care.
Well, Kaylee, thank you for all you do. And Dr. White, thank you for what you do. And one of the reasons I care so much about CSU Channel Islands is that they are not only willing, but they are incentivizing people like you to do cutting-edge work that really helps so many people in this community and beyond. So thank you for being here. Thank you for all you do. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.